realize that everyone is in really big trouble.
Yeah. Even me.
I keep saying you. Just like the Israelites said.
What did you?
Thank you, little Miss Cheerful.
Oh, I have a very bad feeling about this.
Resistance has been called one of the world's most pressing public health issues. Over the last decade, almost every type of bacteria has become stronger and less responsive to antibiotic treatment when it is really needed. Please keep antibiotics.
We can't tell you who we are or where we live. It's too risky, and we've got to be careful, really careful, so we don't trust anyone, because if they find us, well, we won't let them find us. The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yes.
Awesome. So we're back on the air.
Music courtesy of Matthew Tongue.
Exactly. We figured we'd try and do something a little special, which is probably the theme tonight on this radio station. See? Laughing. I like it.
Hilarity!
Anyway, so yeah, we're back in the studio tonight.
On Halloween. So if you're out at a party, which you probably are, just download it.
Yeah. It'll be good the second time around.
What? Why are you pointing that at me?
I'm taking the mic. So we thought we would do something special for Halloween, you know, besides let CJ talk. And I wanted to get a Ouija board in here because that would be kind of creepy, but that would be kind of sad for you listeners at home. So instead, I built a ghost scanning machine. It needs a better name than that. Like
the Ghostbuster.
It's a fake Ouija board.
It's not a Ouija board.
No, it's not a Ouija board.
It's a fake one.
See,
it detects ghosts.
Yeah, see, it just measures the supernatural presence. So
exactly,
here we go.
Exactly, it's electrical.
All right, flick the switch.
And that means there aren't many ghosts here. Here I can adjust it, so like if it sounded more like...
Oh, God.
Then we know there were ghosts. So occasionally I'll tap into that to see if we get any, like, spirits.
Yeah,
coming.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll just check.
And the higher it is, the pitch is proportional with the pitch of my voice. Because
really?
I get scared when there's ghosts around.
Oh, my God!
A few people know, but when I get into things, I get possessed.
Weird.
Yeah, it's kind of a medical thing I don't like to talk about.
Books? Or not?
If you've got crickets in your UK, that's
yeah.
The least of your problem. Man.
Okay, so,
world shows.
We skipped the disclaimer because we didn't get it set up.
But I forgot something.
What?
This Halloween special is unofficially brought to you by Gunderson Steel.
Really? Since when do they listen to our show?
I don't know. I think they're probably listening to us right now as I speak.
Oh, yeah. By
as I speak, I mean playing in Luke's computer.
Right.
You know, whenever he's playing it.
Whenever he's playing it. So shout out to
what was
Luke. I like it. Okay, so yeah.
No, you can't do that. Not on the first. On the first.
Yep. Pause.
I liked it though.
So we're getting off to a slow start. I'm sorry. I've had a lot of sugar, and when I have sugar, I get daisy.
As opposed
I said
to
it. I said it. I stand by what I said.
Daisy. Will I dream again? Anyways.
So yeah, we're on what's the book we're on?
Oh wait, we forgot to introduce the show. You're listening to Animorphs Radio Drama on
Halloween
special on KDUP.UP.edu. Or 1580 AM, south of Portland. Matt, where you can call us?
You can call us tonight at 503-943-7121, or if you're on campus, extension 7121. Kyle Huck can email us and stuff.
Animorph_radio@yahoo.com. That's Animorph without an S. Little line, which is an underscore, uncensored, @ yahoo.com, which is a period, com.
Excellent! You get a gold star, Kyle!
Hooray! I like gold.
Okay. So we're reading tonight...
Animorphs. The Alien. Book number 8. In the Animorph series. Written by...
K.A. Applegate.
And published by, you know, Scholastic or whatever.
Something like that. People that might eventually sue us.
I could so finish that song right now. Are we going to start the book? Are we going to start the book?
I think so.
Okay.
All right.
So we're going to go with what's his face on narration and myself on voices?
No,
or do you want to do voices?
Matt? Do voices?
Sure. I'll do something.
Sure, I'll do something.
Where's my book?
Oh. There it is.
Unless this is your book.
I showed you where the cue was, right? Mm-hmm. It's right there.
Okay.
This is going to be the best ever.
Yeah. We're really excited because when we first read this, it was amazing.
Kyle said that we're really excited because when we first read this, it was amazing.
They can hear me. I'm loud.
Yeah.
And then he said that you can hear him and he's loud.
Awesome.
Prologue. Before Earth.
Prepare for return to normal space,
Captain Nerafir said in thought speak. I was on the bridge of our dome ship. It was an amazing moment. I had never been on the bridge before. I'd always been stuck in my quarters or up in the dome. It was an honor to be on the battle bridge with the full warriors and the princes and the captain himself. It was because I was Elfangel's little brother, and Eriss, like me, a warrior cadet, wouldn't have been on the bridge otherwise. Especially not an Eriss, who had once run into Captain Nerafir so hard he'd fallen over and ended up bruising one of his stock eyes. It was an accident, but still, it's just not a good idea for lowly cadets to go plowing into great heroes. But everyone loved Elfangel, so they had to tolerate me. That's the story of my life. If I... live 200 years, I'll probably still be known as Elfangel's little brother. We came out of Z-space, or Zero-space, a realm of white emptiness, back into normal space. Through monitors, I saw nothing but blackness dotted with stars, and there, just ahead of us, no more than 500,000 miles away, was a small, mostly blue planet.
Was that Earth?
I asked Elfangel.
I didn't realize there was so much water. Can you get old Hoof and Tail to let me go down to the planet with you? Actually, Millie, shut up!
Elfangel said quickly. He looked slightly sick and cast a dubious glance at Captain Nerafir. I guess I had been thought-speaking a little loudly. Elfangel was worried that War Prince Nerafir might have overheard, but I was sure I hadn't been that loud. I mean, I really didn't think that...
Old Hoof and Tail, eh?
Captain Nerafir said.
Is that what they call me?
Elfangel shot me a poisonous look.
I'm sure this Eriss didn't mean any disrespect, sir.
I think my brother would have liked to throw me out the nearest airlock right at that moment. Slowly, Nerevir turned his two main eyes toward me. He was a frightening old Andalite, a great warrior, a great hero, Elfangel's idol.
Ah, it's the ruffian, the wild brat who knocked me over.
He nodded.
Old Hoofentail, is it? Well, I kind of like the name.
He slowly winked one eye at Elfangel.
I suppose we'll have to let the ruffian live.
Suddenly...
Yerks, we have a Yerk mothership in orbit over the planet.
The warrior at the sensor station cried.
They're launching fighters, I guess. I count 12 Yerk bug fighters.
Another warrior cried.
They're on an intercept course. They'll be in firing range in 12 Earth minutes.
Captain Nerevir turned his face and his main eyes toward my brother, while his stock eyes kept watch on the monitors. The humor was gone from his face.
Prince Elfangor, it is time. Launch all fighters.
But Elfangor hadn't waited for orders. He was already halfway out the door. My tail banged into the doorway as I plowed after him.
Get to the dome, Aximili,
Elfangel said.
But I want to fight,
I said.
I can fly a fighter as well as... Do not argue with me, Aximili. Arists do not go into battle. You are not a full warrior yet. Go to the dome. You will be safer there. I don't want to be safe,
I said. But a warrior, even a warrior cadet, has to obey orders. Elfangel was my brother. He was also my prince. I could hear the thought-speak announcements coming from the bridge.
Yerk bug fighters closing fast. We are entering the outer gravitational field of the planet.
Elfangor and I came to a pair of drop shafts. Warriors were zooming down, heading for the fighter base. I would have to go up to reach the dome. The upward drop shaft was empty. It made me angry. Everyone was fighting but me. When it was all over, Elfangor would be even more of a big hero, and I would still be the little brother, the child. Elfangel hesitated for just a moment before rushing on. He arched his tail forward. I reached forward with my own tail, arching it up over my back. We touched blades.
You'll have your chance to fight, Aximili,
my brother said.
Very soon your fighter will fly side by side with mine. But not in this battle. Yes, my prince,
I said, sounding very stiff and formal. But as he turned to enter the drop shaft, I couldn't let him go thinking I was mad at him, I said.
Hey, Elfangor, go burn some slugs.
That's the plan, little brother,
he said with a laugh.
That is the plan.
It was the last I saw him. He disappeared down the drop shaft. I went upward to the great dome. The dome was the heart of our ship. It was a vast, round, open plain of grass and trees and running water from our home planet, all covered by a transparent dome. I was alone there, the only non-warrior on the great ship, the only one without a battle to fight. I could see the blue planet above me hanging in a black sky. It had a moon, just a dead ball of dust. But the planet looked alive. I could see white clouds swirling. Its yellow sun's light sparkled off the vast oceans. This planet was known to be inhabited by a reasonably intelligent species. We had learned a little about them in school. My main eyes were drawn to the brilliant flares of engine exhaust as our fighters lanced onward toward the onrushing Yerks. I was far from the battle bridge now, beyond the range of their thought-speak. I heard nothing in my head, and my ears heard only the sound of a gentle, artificial breeze ruffling the leaves of the trees. I stood on blue-green grass and watched tiny pinpoints of light as the battle was joined in orbit above the blue planet. And then I felt it. A tremor that rolled through my mind, a wave of coldness, a premonition, like a waking nightmare. I turned my stark eyes away from battle, toward the dead moon of the blue planet, and there I saw it, a black shape against the gray-white light of the moon, a shape like a twisted battle axe.
Blade ship,
I whispered.
A Vissa's blade ship.
Our fighters were all away. Our dome ship had massive weapons, but the blade ship was fast and maneuverable, too fast. The warriors on the battle bridge had no choice. They had to separate the dome in order to be able to fight. I felt a grinding, crunching sensation as the dome was released to drift free of the main line of the ship. Then, silence as the dome floated free. Slowly, the rest of my ship rotated into sight. Without the dome, it looked like a long stick, with a huge bulge of engines on the far end, and the smaller bulge of the battle bridge in the middle. They were trying to turn to meet the blade ship. Too slow. The blade ship fired.
No!
Dracon beams bright as sun lanced through space. The ship fired again. An explosion of light, a silent explosion, like a small sun going nova. The ship, my ship, blew up into its separate atoms. One huge flash of light, and 100 Andalite warriors died. The shockwave hit the dome, translated into sound. The grass beneath my hooves slammed up at me, a terrible rattling, shaking, heaving.
Ah!
My knees buckled and I fell to the grass. Everything was spinning wildly out of control. I could feel the artificial gravity weaken. The stabilizers had failed. The dome was falling out of orbit. The dome slid down the gravity well, down toward the blue planet, red hot. Glowing atmosphere turned the sky above me to fire. Emergency engines kicked in with a loud whoosh, but they could only slow the descent, not stop it. The dome hurtled at a shocking speed down and down and down through the atmosphere, down toward the sparkling sea. The dome hit water, boiling, steaming water rushed over the dome. I was sinking beneath the ocean of the blue planet. I was powerless, terrified, alone. After an eternity, the dome crunched heavily onto the ocean floor. Looking up, I could barely see the surface of the water 100 feet or more over the top of the dome. I climbed shakily to my four hooves. I was standing on a vast blue plain that was a piece of my own planet, a blue-green park hidden deep beneath an alien sea. And there I waited for weeks. I sent out thought-speak cries to my brother. I knew he would save me, if he still lived. But in the end, it was not Elfangor who found me. It was five creatures from the planet, five humans, as they call themselves. They were the ones who told me of Elfangor's last minutes of life. He had broken Andalite law and custom by giving these humans the power to morph. I was shocked, but tried to hide it. And they had witnessed Elfangor's death, his cold-blooded murder by the Yerk Overlord, Visser III. Visser III, who slaughtered my helpless, wounded brother. Visser III, the only Yerk ever to infest and control an Andalite body. Visser III, known to all Andalites as the Abomination, the only Andalite controller. He had killed Elfangor, and I had inherited a terrible burden. By Andalite custom, I would be required to avenge my brother's death. Someday, I would kill. I would have to kill Visser III.
Chapter 1.
Oh,
that
God.
Was amazing. All right.
Oh, solid.
Okay.
Very nice.
I liked it.
Oh.
That was that was just a slight bit better than the first time we did it.
We're all crying a little.
That was good stuff.
So,
great way to start.
Okay.
This.
Oh, that better be already. A good phone call. On. Hi, you're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Halloween special.
Who's this?
Hello, this is Devin.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, Devin, hi!
It's going pretty good.
How are you?
I'm good. I just called to say hello to all my old friends of Portland, and happy Halloween.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, we should check in for spirits.
Devin, I miss you.
No spirits.
No
spirits.
Okay,
I
good, you're
you.
Safe.
Devin, you have no spirit.
No. You have no spirits. He's safe at home. Awesome. Thanks for the call, man. It's good to hear you. From you.
Yep.
You're listening to the show?
Yeah.
How'd you enjoy the intro?
Well, I just got home and I just turned it on. I just heard the last
Man. It was good stuff. You'll listen to it later.
Like, I think it's better than the Tobias intro.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, man. Anyways, thanks for calling, dude.
Well, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween, Devin.
Happy Halloween!
Catch you later.
Later.
Bye.
And by catch, I mean no. I'll let him fall.
I'm so happy. Hey, you know what?
I miss Devin.
He gets this.
Wait, which Devin was that?
That was Devin, my old roommate.
Oh, that one!
Yeah.
That's for you, Devin.
I was definitely thinking the other one.
Whoops. I don't miss
that. Hi, Devin!
Awesome. Okay, so who's doing what?
I can't do anything right now. I'm just... Oh my goodness.
Okay, so does that mean you're doing narration, I'm doing voices?
I need some spooky...
Are we rocking the British voice for the entire thing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we did that for Andalite Chronicles.
Yeah.
So we might as well have to.
Okay.
Nice job on the voices, by the way, man.
That was solid.
Although I liked the one... I liked the bridge officer that Steve's voice slowly got deeper.
That's a good touch.
Main fighters are launching.
It was perfect.
He was a Beatles announcer, you know, how they... Paperback writer.
Paperback writer.
Exactly. Ba-dum-bum. Is this a...
We're on chapter one.
Yeah, but where are we gonna put that one thing that CJ brought?
What one thing?
Well, that music that I suggested. Is that for a different part? Okay, I'll just put on...
Oh, right. I know what you're saying.
Are we saving that for later?
I don't know when that is.
Oh.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Let's put it
later.
On, like, when they go to that place and he does all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I'll bet you guys wish you knew what we were talking about, but we're not going to tell you.
Nope.
You're going to be surprised.
Hopefully.
It's a Halloween special.
And that's where people
sort of
like
every single day, you know, food at the Commons.
Exactly. It's a surprise.
And it's scary.
What is it? Chicken? Rabbit? Stew? What?
I don't know, but it's scary.
It jumps at me.
It's like...
Oh,
hey. For those of you who, hold on, I gotta get this off my chest. For those of you that don't eat at the Commons, think of that scene in the Addams Family where they're all sitting at the table and they're like, "Hey, Wednesday, play with your food." And she starts stabbing at the plate. And it moves around and it tries to, like, you know, attack her fork. That's the Commons right there in a nutshell.
I like the triplet action.
The triplet action? I like it as well.
And a memorable occasion, because I knew that Matt was going to be bringing his spirit sensor, quote unquote, I brought some Commons food so we could test it.
Yep.
Here we go.
All
right, okay. Okay, you gotta put the food closer. It's not that sensitive.
Here we go.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, pull back. And
just to double check.
Get that out of the studio! Out the window! Quick, run! It won't open!
Ooh, maybe he's still with us. No.
No, he went on. That's so creepy. I know you're joking and I'm still creeped out, man.
Apparently I have a creepy wink. I didn't know this.
Really?
Yeah.
Wink.
Whoa! That's so creepy!
Aw, oh, dude, you people over the air, you are lucky you didn't see that. I do not wish
Stephanie
that on
saw
anyone.
It. Stephanie
you know, one
saw
of those things, one of those things where, like, you get the chill that goes down your spine and your hair stand up? Normally, that's, like, evil presence, but that was just, like, CJ Wink. It's bad.
All right.
Somebody did not lie to you. Remember that.
Chapter 1. Earth.
Really?
Okay. Whoa.
Wow, we rocked a half hour for that?
Because I was crying through that entire front.
Okay, you're listening to KDUP, 1580 AM. You can call us at 503-943-7121 or extension 7121.
Not 7161, that's public safety, of which we are the...
We can't actually say that we're the official radio station of public safety.
So we're the unofficial official radio station.
Right,
public
unofficial
safety.
Official radio station for public safety.
That joke's getting a little old.
No, it's not.
I still enjoy it. Okay. It makes me smile on the inside.
Chapter 1, Earth. The first thing an Andalite may notice about humans is that they walk around on only two legs. It is very strange to see so many creatures balancing that way, but despite this, they seldom fall down.
From the Earth Diary of Aximili Escaroth Isthil.
My full name is Aximili Escaroth Isthil. My human friends call me Axe.
I am a young Andalite, I have four legs, and I have two arms, and I have a tail. I guess I also have two arms. I'm going to stop rereading stuff. That, yeah, I'm sorry.
I was just thinking, smiling on the inside must be good for your abs.
It is. It's a good workout.
Is that a Jack Handy again?
No, it's just, that's me. That's all me.
I was just thinking, you know, like, laughing is, like, a workout in itself, which I guess you can use that excuse.
Which is
but
no
smiling's
wonder why
even
so
worse.
Many people come out of their rooms after listening to our show, like, sweating like the Dickens, because they've been laughing so hard.
Right.
Amazing workout.
Or doing something, you know.
Yeah.
Animorphs, the radio drama, uncensored, Halloween special, aerobic workout.
Yay!
Just keep putting qualifiers.
Oh, and 5 minutes have passed.
Really?
No.
Three.
I was really worried.
I am told that I look like a cross between a deer, a scorpion, and a human. I've seen deer in the woods, and I don't agree. For one thing, they have mouths, and I don't. And they also have only two eyes, while I have four. And they're brown. As for scorpions, I've only seen pictures. There is some resemblance when it comes to the tail. An Andalite tail is also curved upward and tipped by a very sharp blade. Scorpion tails are tipped by stingers, which deliver poison, not a blade.
Hmm. Weird.
The more you know. You come home, got a rough day at work. So you throw in some food, pop in a movie, smother your kids. It's all fun, right? Nah. Don't smother your kids.
The more you know. Good Scrubs reference.
As an Andalite, I have the power to morph. It's not something we're born with. It's a technology, of course. But we invented it. And we are the only race in the galaxy that has it. Except for my human friends, that is. They're a whole new race of only four or five. And anyway. That was probably inappropriate. Oh, they can morph too, but it's thanks to Andalite science. And thanks to the fact that my brother broke our own laws to give them this power.
Jerk.
The only one great problem with morphing is the time limit. 2 Earth hours. That time limit was the problem as my human friends and I set about on a particular mission. It was a mission that required careful planning and careful timing. It was a mission full of risks.
Dum, dum, dum.
We were going to a movie.
This is the going to the movie music.
Nice. This is the traveling to the movie?
I don't know.
Are they on their way?
No, they're talking about it.
Oh, okay.
This is
perfect.
Odd going to a music movie. I mean, to a movie music. I mean, yeah, no, I said it right the second time.
It's a play shelf song.
Yay, place!
There we go. Perfect, shove that in there.
So, Kyle.
Oh, is it my line? Is that why we were just, like, paused? Oh, my bad. So here's the deal, Axe.
Marco explained.
You can watch the first hour of the movie, but that's it. We can get you to the mall theater, and you watch for an hour. Then, we have to get you back to the woods to demorph.
A movie. Movies are an important part of human culture. I have decided if I was stuck in Earth among these aliens, then I should at least learn about them.
So studious!
Maybe I would never be the biggest big hero Elfangle was, but I could surely become the biggest expert on humans. Of course, I would have to attend the movie in a morph.
Antithesis of Mission 3! Because Mission 3's made it his life's goal to be like the... No, Mission 1!
Now I'm confused.
Mission
Stop
One's
it.
Like, Mission 1's made it, like, her life... Its life goal to, like, be the most... Like, the expert yerk on humans. And he's, like, trying to be...
The expert and life. Right.
Yeah.
Antithesis.
Oh, and when I was listening to Visitor 1, and she was, like, talking about how she's terrible at the balance beam,
yeah.
It, like, clicked. It's
Rachel.
So metaphorical.
Right.
How?
Wait, how does that have anything to do with Visser 1 or this book?
It doesn't. It has to do with Rachel.
Exactly. Which has to do with these books.
No!
It made sense
no.
in my mind!
I saw the connection in your on your facial expression. You were, like, talking about something else, and then Your head went sideways, and you were talking
about
something
completely
different.
It's really an amazing thing
to watch. You know, he did warn us about this, that he gets possessed when he gets into things, because that was definitely a possessed moment. He definitely just went like, oh my gosh, I'm on one track. Wait a minute. Stars.
I would really love to see somebody map my thoughts.
It's just like...
I did it because I'm not...
Yeah, that button.
I love the... That's definitely me.
That's the capacitors decharging.
Okay. We're,
decharging or discharging?
Is it my line?
This is the same thing.
Is it my line?
It's a very technical term.
I could surely become the biggest expert on humans. Of course, I would have to attend the movie in a morph. I couldn't go around in public in my own Andalite form. Humans would have been terrified.
Oh, quaint.
And the controllers, those humans who were infested by your parasites, of course, would have tried to kill me.
But of course.
Which would have ruined the entire movie experience,
Yeah, say it would.
I'm going to kill you.
So fun, jolly good.
Jolly good.
I can't believe you've done this.
I can't believe you've done this.
I need to show you that.
What's that from?
It's from some YouTube clip.
It's pretty funny. I can't believe you've done this.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Exactly.
Kyle can.
I would have to morph to take on a different body, but this particular morph was one I had done several times before. I didn't expect there to be any problems. We were standing together under a camouflage of the forest where I now live. Prince Jake, Marco, Cassie, Rachel, and Tobias were all there.
Okay, let's do this.
Although Tobias, yeah, I kind of paused and then jumped.
Oh, my bad.
It's cool.
I heard Tobias and went, "Go!"
Although Tobias was some distance away.
Okay, let's do this.
Jake said, making sounds with his mouth to form words. He glanced up at his watch.
Rachel, you have the backup plan, right?
He glanced at his watch, which was in fact on his wrist and not up.
How's it going there, buddy? Yeah.
Rachel, you have the backup
plan. The one that's
God, I keep doing that sentence wrong. These guys are talking with each other.
Kyle,
I just keep
the thing's on your computer, right?
What? Yeah, I've got it.
Ba-da-dee-dee.
Am I supposed to go?
No, not yet.
Okay, back on track. Rachel, you have the black... mere slip of the folk tongue.
Name that movie.
Rachel, you have the backup plan ready?
Oh, wait.
Where does Axe go if he needs an emergency demorph? The dressing rooms at Nordstrom's. They're big and private.
Remember that, children.
Best dressing rooms in the mall. Cassie and I will be posted outside the theater, ready to rush him there if an emergency situation develops. And Rachel promises not to stop and shop in Junior Miss on the way.
Cassie said, grinning, which is a funny thing you do with your mouth if you're a human, which isn't in the books. Sorry. Jake glanced up at the sky. Up above the treetops, a red-tailed hawk floated on a warm breeze.
Tobias!
Jake yelled.
All clear.
Tobias called down and thought to speak.
I don't see anyone.
Tobias is a Nothlet, a person trapped in a morph. It is what happens if you stay beyond the 2-hour limit. Tobias is a human, but his body is that of a hawk.
He's also an idiot because he stayed in morph too long. My God. They feel sorry for him, but it's of his own fault.
Is that Valley Girl or British? It's hard to tell.
It's CJ.
So it's a cross between Valley Girl and British.
No.
Or Valley Girl than British.
No.
Moving on!
It's a mentally challenged Cockney.
Cockney are people, too.
Yeah, so are mentally challenged people. I'm mentally challenged, and I'm a person.
But you're not Cockney.
We're still not going. I went through the entire cricket track, and we're still not moving along.
You button still...
Tobias is a human, but his body is that of a hawk. He's adjusted well to this bizarre new life. He lives in the forest with me.
Yay!
For a long time, I expected Tobias to ask me...
Forest mate.
I miss you, Devin. For a long time, I expected Tobias...
to ask me the question that must have haunted him day and night. Whether it would be possible...
Check for spirits! Haunted, it said haunted.
What?
Check for spirits, it said haunted.
Oh, haunted him, yes.
Yes, yes.
Because spirits respond to words.
There's a little bit. I think we're safe.
Yeah. Just a little tiny spirit.
Yeah. Haunted.
Yeah, the spirits have trouble getting out of the page. We're good.
Must have haunted him day and night.
Like alien.
Maybe we should be reading Goosebumps today.
We should have.
No, but it wouldn't have been Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored Goosebumps edition.
Where we didn't actually read Animorphs.
Nope.
Whether it would ever be possible for him to escape his body, which is, for those who are lost track of the conversation, is a question that haunted him night and day.
Ooh.
But he never did ask me that question. I guess he was afraid of the answer, so I didn't volunteer one.
Okay,
Jake said.
Let's do it.
I began to morph. The first thing I felt was a slipping, melting, almost sickening feeling as my internal organs began to shift around. There was a scary little jolt as my second and third heart stopped beating. I heard a grinding sound from inside my body as my spine began to shorten. I'm sure you've all experienced this.
Yes.
You know.
Second hand.
Quite.
Soon I was in danger of falling on my face as my front legs shriveled. My arms grew thicker and stronger, but two fingers on each hand melted together to leave me with 5-fingered hands instead of 7. My shoulders grew wider to support my large arms, and my hind legs grew sturdier as more of my weight was shifted onto them. The stark eyes on my head began to retract, and as they did, my stark eyes grew dimmer and dimmer, like someone turning off the light with a rheostat. Suddenly, they were gone, and I only had 2 eyes. That's like the dimmer switch.
Or one of the thingies, the snuffer thing that Dumbledore's got.
That's magic.
Putter outer?
Yeah, that thing.
The put outer.
Is that what it's called? Oh,
actually, it's got a real name, but I don't want to say it because then I'll be a total nerd.
You know, I was a big nerd today. Someone walked into the commons; they were dressed up like a trill.
A tribble?
A trill.
A trill.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like, what is that? Explain it to us.
Be scared. Be careful, because you get into that trill is from.
Oh, they're the symbiote ones.
It's from yeah.
Yeah. Because putting something in because putting something inside you makes you grow funny putty on your face.
Exactly.
In Star Trek.
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I didn't know that reference. You win.
Do we have the spooky music in right now? We should put that in. Just in case we have one of those moments, then we can be like spooky, and then we have a reason to call it. Halloween special.
The Halloween special. Because crickets really aren't scary.
Actually, I can make... Oh, okay, here it is. Here's something scary. Animorphs got canceled. Okay, start breathing. I was just kidding. It was the trick part of the treat. Oh, my goodness.
Dude, not cool.
I'm sorry.
Man. You weren't supposed to try and kill us.
I'm sorry.
Are we ever going to get through this chapter?
No, I don't know.
15 minutes have passed since 15 minutes ago.
15 of your Earth minutes.
Suddenly my stalk eyes were gone, and I only had 2 eyes. I dislike that. Having just 2 eyes is so limiting. You can only look in one direction at a time. You can't even look behind you.
Gosh.
You can't even, sorry. You can't. Can't say can't in
God.
British. My spine continued to shorten. In fact, it sucked completely out of my tail, which left my tail as limp as a rope. Then a weak remnants of my tail simply withered away.
Grab him, he's gonna fall over,
Prince Jake said. He and Marco each took a hold of me to keep me upright. Upright, not upright, we're not Scottish. As my front legs disappeared altogether.
Hey, clothing!
Rachel said, making
clothing.
A face.
Don't forget the morphing suit. Axe!
As my body continued to change, my skin-tight morphing suit also appeared. It's a very difficult trick to be able to morph clothing, and all you can manage is something extremely tight.
Are you done?
Prince Jace Prince Jake asked me.
Inquired of me.
I considered. I was standing precariously on two legs. Bing!
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Bing! I possess two strong arms and ten...
Bing!
And ten strong fingers.
Bing!
I was mostly without fur.
Bing!
My eyes were weak and totally unable to see anything except what was in front of me.
Bing!
My hearing was good.
Bing!
My mind was functioning normally. Bing.
Bing.
And I had a mouth.
Crap.
Bing.
Oh, yes. Dang it. Yes.
I said, using my mouth.
Yes. Yes, sir. I am in a human morph.
I had morphed into a human. Yes, I am in human morph. I had morphed into a human. Vital
yes.
information, K.A.
Way to
the
go.
The DNA came from samples I had long since acquired from Jay, Cassie, Rachel, and Marco. I would have liked to have Tobias's DNA, wouldn't we all? But that was not possible since he was an offlet. My human friends have some differences, but each has only two legs, two arms, and two eyes. They each have one mouth. Prince Jake is large and pale in color with brown hair. Cassie is shorter and darker in color with darker brown hair. Marco is also shorter and a medium color with long brown hair. Rachel is taller and pale and has yellow hair.
Bing.
None of them has any sort of tail.
Wow. This always makes my skin crawl,
Marco said, staring at me in a sideways fashion.
It's like the four of us were run through a blender. I swear he has my eyes. What's gross is I'll look at him and think, wow, that guy is cute,
Rachel said.
Then I'll see something that looks like Cassie. Or worse, like me.
Or Jake, who's my cousin.
Which Ew. Would be worse than me. What? Rachel in love with her own looks?
Marco said, using inflection of his mouse sounds that humans call sarcasm.
I'm still not sure this is a good idea.
Then he looked troubled before that.
Oh, dang it. I keep skipping lines from you.
It's cool. I understand.
Formal apology?
Wow.
I want a letter. I want three letters.
I'm still not sure this is a good idea. The controllers could...
Prince Jake interrupted.
We're not talking about controllers, Yerks, or Visser 3. We're taking a break. We fought one battle after another. We destroyed the Candrona. We beat the Valik monster of theirs. And now, we are taking some well-deserved vacation time.
Oh, wait.
Axe wants to learn more about humans, so that's what we're doing. I think the Valik...
Don't ask.
Yeah.
Don't tell.
We just...
The three monkeys? Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got it going on.
I think...
Right.
The hey, we're the monkeys!
I think we forgot.
We the monkey around!
We're too busy thing to put anybody down.
We're just trying to be friendly.
It's not me. The mic is moving away from you out of the laws of nature.
Yep.
No, I'm kidding. We accidentally skipped Megan Morph's one.
Oh, well.
No, we didn't.
Yeah. We might come back to it.
Or not. Because that's how we roll. I was never exactly a great student, but I could just imagine how my fellow Andalites would act when they'd finally rescued me. They'd ask,
"So, Axamilly, what did you learn about Earth?"
And I'd have to say,
well, not much.
The trick would be to learn about the humans without letting them learn too much about Andalites.
Quid pro quo, Clarice.
There were things... You're dead.
Shame, shame, shame.
There were things I could never tell the humans. Things that might make them turn against me.
Against.
We should hit the Yerks now while they're weak.
Rachel growled.
We know the Yerks won't get a new ground-based Candrona for another week. They must still be starving for lack of Candrona rays. We should hit them.
Yurks are a race of parasitic slugs. They live inside the brains of other species. They completely dominate the host body, making it a controller. There are Hork-Pajir controllers, taxon controllers, and more human controllers. Any human you know might be a controller. There's no way to tell. Unless you are an Andalite.
Or if you're on the TV show and you look into their eyes.
Of course, because then they do the...
ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Controller in your face.
And then they scratch their ear.
And then they rub their ear like they've got something jammed down.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. Look into the eyes and then the jerky camera zoom in until you're looking at their ear uncomfortably close.
Yeah, like the mic. Where are we? Controller, quote, end quote.
I sympathized with Rachel, but I also understood Prince Jake's caution. No warrior can fight all the time, except for John Rambo.
Look, you guys,
Jake said.
We hurt the Yurks. It was a good job, but we also know that they have a replacement Kandrona being set up, so don't assume they're weak. Besides, if they are weak, they sure haven't shown it. I expected to see Yurks dying left and right, and former controllers walking free. Hasn't happened. Somehow they've maintained. We can't know what is going on with the Yurks,
Cassie pointed out.
Just because we haven't seen them suffer doesn't mean they haven't.
Jake.
Okay, look, here we are again, talking about the Yurks.
Jake said impatiently.
We have just come from a very, very unpleasant battle, and we came very close to ending up dead. And it's not the first time. So we are going to relax and be normal. We are going to the movie, and we are going to have fun. And no one, Rachel, is going to look for a fight. Don't you love it when he gets all forceful like that?
Marco said to Cassie.
He's just so Schwarzenegger sometimes. Okay, Axe,
Jake said.
Time to get dressed. Prince Jake. Oh, wow, I don't know what that was, but it was not him. I am already wearing this garment,
I said, pointing to the thing that covered my body.
Wearing. Ing. Inga.
It is an amazing sensation, making sounds with your mouth. Actual words are formed by vibrating your throat and positioning your tongue. But some sounds are better than others. Ing is a wonderful sound.
Don't call me Prince.
To make.
Axe, you're dressed like an escapee from Ice Capades.
Marco said.
You can't go out in public wearing tights and a spandex top.
Rachel said.
It's a major... wow. It's a major fashion don't.
Unless you're on a bicycle.
Here.
She handed me a bag. In the bag were items of clothing. Took several minutes for me to dress successfully. There was a lot for... to remember, and every bit of clothing can only go on one way. Socks go on the feet, and not on the hands, for example. When I was done, they all stared at me. Even Tobias flew down to stare.
Rachel, he looks like he's going to the country club to play polo,
Marco said.
I knew we shouldn't let you pick out the clothes. He's like a bully magnet. Even I want to beat him up. It's a classic look,
Rachel said angrily.
Like you're Mr. Fashion. A person who dresses like Beavis. I think he looks cute. Well, that's the kiss of death,
Cassie said, and then Tobias remarked from his perch in the tree above.
It is?
I asked.
It is?
I asked.
Just an expression, Axeman,
Tobias said.
You'll have fun.
Axeman. That's what Tobias calls me sometimes. You know, when I kill people with an axe. Ha ha! Happy Halloween! Ow. Laugh.
Oh, stop it! So creepy. Chapman should not be allowed to laugh ever. Because that definitely sounded like what's-his-face. Where am I?
Come on, Axe.
Come on, Axe.
Prince Jake said, smiling.
Let's do this. If anyone tries to beat you up, we'll protect you.
yeah.
Want to check for spirits or something? Or not?
Well, we've got 5 minutes.
I'm going to spirit.
Yeah.
Until our break.
Yeah.
Just try to finish this chapter.
Chapter 2. Here, you're doing something.
No, I'm doing something.
And I'm not.
No. Wait, you have your own book.
Oh, yeah, I'm so not used to this whole, like, three-book thing.
Chapter
last year,
two.
We definitely only had
CJ
two books.
CJ does something.
You're doing voices.
Chapter 2, in which CJ does something. Is this the one?
Is it?
It might
I'll
be.
Look. You guys go.
I'm good to go if it is.
I do not understand the plot of this story,
I said. We were in the movie theater. I was sitting. This involves bending your body and resting on the fat deposits halfway down the back of your body.
That was a preview, Axe.
Prince Jake.
It's just
said.
To give you it's just to give you an idea of what the whole movie will be like when it comes out. Yes, I see. Why is the screen flat and two-dimensional? Flat.
Flat.
Because that's how movies are. Ah. You want some popcorn?
Marco asked. He held one of the open boxes that had obtained... They had obtained. He moved it close to me.
Is now? It food?
I asked.
Well, sort of,
Prince Jake said.
But Axe, you know how you get around food, okay? So remember, don't get carried away.
I watched Marco eat some of the popcorn. I did as he did. I stuck my large human fingers into the box. I removed a handful of food and stuck it into my mouth. I chewed. The texture was rough and strange, but the flavor! It reminded me of a food called pizza, but there was just a hint of cigarette butts, which I also enjoy! Although Prince Jake had told me never to eat cigarette butts again. They are bad for you. I took another handful of the popcorn. I chewed it. Another handful.
This is excellent!
I cried.
It tastes like it's about a week old,
Marco said.
What are these flavors? What are they called? I don't know. Salt? Grease? Salt!
I said, savoring the very sound of the word.
Salt! And the grease! Grease!
Hold Someone it. Behind me said,
Hold it down! The movie's starting. Salt! Salt! Grease! Grease! Axe, don't talk so loud, okay?
Prince Jake suggested.
Here, just take the box.
Marco said. He handed me the box of popcorn. I quickly ate the rest of it.
Not the box!
Marco will.
You don't eat the box! It tasted of salt and grease.
I pointed out.
Oh, man. Is it time to leave yet?
Marco asked Prince Jake.
Tell me when it's time to leave.
The movie began. It involved humans and non-humans in uniforms. It seemed they were in some sort of spacecraft.
What type of ship is that?
I asked.
It looks somewhat like a Hajabran freighter. That's the Enterprise,
Prince Jake said.
It's not real, it's just made up. Yes, I know,
I said.
I do know what a real interstellar spacecraft looks like.
Marco and Prince Jake looked at each other and both smiled. I quickly became bored of the plot of the movie. For one thing, there was one character who was clearly an Ongakic female. But in the movie, this creature was called a Klingon. It made no sense. However, by accident, I made a tremendous discovery. There was more popcorn. It was in boxes on the floor. I hadn't seen it in the darkness. There was a half-full box right by my feet. I quickly ate this new popcorn. Then I found something else beside it, on the floor. It was a smaller box. Inside it, there were three small brown globules. I ate the brown globules. At that moment, it was as if the entire planet had stopped spinning. The taste. It was beyond description. Those brown globules were like nothing I had ever experienced. I felt my life changed.
Met Jesus.
I felt myself lifted up out of the world of everyday experience to some new level. More. I wanted more. I dropped to my knees and began to search. I crawled along the floor looking for more. It was easier crawling than walking. At least when I crawled, I had four legs. Also, the humans had coated the floor with sticky substances, which made it easier not to slip. I found no more boxes of globules. However, there was a small twisted plastic envelope. Wow. Envelope. And within the twisted plastic envelope, I discovered a chunk that smelled very similar to the globules. I stuck it in my mouth. Yes, it was the same flavor. The same miraculous, heavenly flavor. And yet, there were differences too. It was crunchier, and there were other flavors. The floor of the movie theater was filled with precious items. I crawled on. I had to squeeze past several seated humans who made loud noises as I passed.
Hey, jerk, what are you doing?
Get away from me, you freak!
But I could not be distracted. I wanted more of the amazing brown food. More! Yes, success! Another small box! And this one was half filled with brightly colored pellets! And yet inside each pellet, more of the magic brown food. More, more, I wanted more! There, a younger human was holding an entire box of brown globules! But I could not just take them. I must have permission first. I looked up from the floor at the human.
Please give me your brown globules,
I asked.
Globules! Use!
Mommy! What do you think you're doing?
Another human cried.
Mommy, he's trying to take my candy!
I heard a more familiar voice. It was Marco.
Where is he? Where's X?
I merely wish to enjoy the brown globules,
I explained to the screaming child. Suddenly, I felt Prince Jake and Marco grabbing my arms. They lifted me up off the floor and dragged me away.
Globules!
I cried. I snatched for the box and its small human was holding.
Globules!
Yay! I love it.
Chapter 3. There are many dangers for an... listening to KDUP 1580 AM online at kdup.up.edu. You can call us at
503-943-7121. That's 503-943-7121.
Where can you email us, Kyle?
Animorph_uncensored@yahoo.com.
Check out what? Check out our Facebook.
And shoot. It's animorph_radio@yahoo.com.
I was confused there. I was like, what?
My bad. It's Animorphs. The music. It's distracting.
Animorphs-uncensored.com.
Chapter 3.
We have to take, like, a PSA break, don't we?
Oh.
Awesome. So we're going to go ahead and take a PSA break.
Animorphs! The radio drama. Uncensored.
I went.
Oh, crap. I don't have the PSAs in.
Okay.
It'll be a minute.
So.
Stall!
Stall. Stall generally happens in a wing at about 10 degrees angle of attack.
Stall better!
It's generally caused by vortices that are generated from the wingtips, but also by drag overcoming the actual energy that can go above.
We have a caller. Stop talking.
Oh.
Animorphs?
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
The Halloween special!
Okay, I have to put in my vote. You guys have to go back and do Megamorphs.
We don't have it. It's sort of a...
We don't have it in the studio.
Oh, we don't have it with us in the studio.
We might be able to backtrack.
Don't worry, we're not, just don't worry about it, basically.
It's hilarious. You have to go back and do it.
Oh, yeah, we know, because it's got some of our favorite scenes in it.
Like the whole car thing.
It's all about the car thing.
Yeah. We know this. But the thing is... you just hate trash cans. But the thing is it's Megamorphs. It's not just Animorphs. It's Megamorphs.
Okay.
So I'm just throwing that out there.
We forgot and we're sorry.
Oh, I guess that's what we're going with. We forgot and we're sorry.
Honesty is the best policy, just as long as you guys don't forget it and leave it.
Okay. All right. We'll try not to.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Do we have PSAs ready?
Yeah, Kyle gets to yell at me now.
Okay, let's go.
Animorphs.
Welcome back to Animorphs.
Radio drama.
Uncensored.
Halloween special.
We would like you to enjoy the rest of our show. Please.
I want some Takata and Fugue, man.
Lay it on me.
Right at the crescendo.
There we go.
Yes.
Oh.
There are many dangers for an enlightened human, Morph.
Chapter 3.
For one thing, there is a constant danger that you will fall off your legs. The slightest push and you can topple over. But worse by far is the danger of taste. Taste is the sense that can drive an enlightened mad. Especially if it involves cinnamon buns or chocolate.
By the time Marco and Prince Jake had half dragged and half carried me out of the theater, I was come again me
and my friend
to the inner
room.
Stop. Your voices.
No, I'm not. I did voices last time.
Your narration.
I ended it with globules!
Wait, oh, yeah, that's right.
Narration.
Yeah, so you're going.
No.
Am I going?
No.
Your voices.
You switched over to me.
You
do voices. You do voices.
We made it out.
We deserve candy.
If you have candy, please call in.
Yeah.
If you have candy, give us a shout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It should be Halloween more often. That way we can get away with eating.
Oh, I think we should probably do like safety tips for Halloween.
Phone call! Oh,
but there's a phone call first.
Hi, you're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Halloween special.
Hey, could you, maestro, if you please, could you put on the sad theme?
It's on Luke.
It's on Luke.
And I can tell you my last name. It's Stager, although most people pronounce it Stagger, which makes for some interesting puns and nicknames. I won't tell you where I live, because, well, that would just be weird. What I can tell you is that I used to be a loyal fan of this radio show. Used to be. I wasn't there for Tobias's poignant intro in the third book. I wasn't there when CJ impaled himself with a twisty tie. I wasn't there when time and again, line after line of Star Wars quotes were butchered. But I should have been there. And now, I have come back, like the prodigal son, to re-pledge my allegiance to the awesomeness that is Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
Halloween special.
Dude, that was sick.
Great job, you guys.
You are forgiven,
I love
my
the show. Max is pretty awesome. I wish I had heard the last part of the other book, but I haven't listened to the archives yet.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's okay.
You're back with us, and you're definitely a huge fan.
And the music is swelling.
Yes.
So and it makes everything
flying, and it's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is.
Okay.
Oh, I have a little song to sing, too.
Oh.
If you could turn up the sad theme.
Oh, he has a song.
It has to do with, I was thinking about this, every time they mention that the controller can be anyone you know, and anyone you know in your neighborhood or whatever, so here's how the little song goes. Oh, a controller is a person in your neighborhood. In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Oh, a controller is a person in your neighborhood. They're the people that you meet each day.
Yay!
Yay!
So, anyway. So there's
thank
a digression.
The Academy, Luke.
I'll let you guys get back to the...
Thank
the
Academy, Luke.
Yeah, you have to before you leave.
Yeah, thank the Academy.
Yes, I thank the Academy and... all my wonderful fans out there, and I thank especially the three men sitting here with me in the studio, even though they're not really with me, TJ, Kyle, and Matthew.
Yay!
Thank you, people, you two guys.
Awesome call, Luke. Thanks for still listening.
You're welcome. I hope everyone else out there is still listening as well.
Yeah, I hope Aziz is listening in, too. But
Yes, he may be. We shall see.
Okay.
We shall see.
Oh, hey, check this out, Luke. Five civil engineers dressed up as Mehmet Anon.
Yeah, today. For,
today.
Were they wearing like a big yellow jacket or something?
No, they were like full decked out with the glasses and the pink and yellow ties with the shirts. And
it was pretty
hot. Oh, that's awesome. Did they tuck their tie into their pants? That was that happened frequently.
Yeah, they did.
It was beautiful. The only thing they didn't have were the comb overs.
Awesome.
I will do my morning exercise. I turn my head. Yes. Can you hear me in the back? Sorry. Anyway.
Okay.
All right, get back to the story.
Later, dude.
Have a good night.
Bye. Give me some more Toccata and Fugue.
I have other.
Oh, I thought it was mine. Okay, then do your other creative. Oh.
Wait, we're starting that over?
I was calm again. We emerged into a brilliant sunlit area where vehicles are parked.
I don't think we actually read it.
Bungo!
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored.
Hi, it's Stephanie.
Hey. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, I just wanted to say I really liked your music this time.
Really?
I did too.
When I finally got my computer to work, it's like listening to your show now a lot.
Awesome.
Yay.
Yay. Well, good job, boys. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There's Stephanie's theme.
She called in right on time.
It was perfect. It's your line and Mike's mic.
It's been like 15 minutes since we started.
By the time Marco and Prince Jake had half-dragged, half-carried me out of the theater, I was calm again. We emerged into a brilliant sunlit area where vehicles are parked.
Oh, it's going to get intense, so I have music for that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I think I have learned a lesson here.
I think we have learned a lesson here.
Prince Jake said.
No chocolate for Axe.
Chocolate? Chocolate? I said, trying out the word.
The brown globules are called chocolate. What about the brightly colored pellets? That wasn't Marco. Actually, the globlets are called... The globules are called raisinettes. Product placement. The pellets are M&Ms.
More product placement. You know what an M&M is upside down?
W&W?
Yeah.
Wow. What does the ampersand look like upside down? It would look more like a question mark, I'd think.
Hey, you know what?
So it's W question mark W?
You know what you get when you have a Canadian upside down M&M? A and W.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it does, eh?
That doesn't... Get out of the studio. That was not funny.
It was hilarious.
Sir, I know funny. That was not...
No, I know funny, and I lectured the readers. I mean, listeners. I mean...
The pellets are M&Ms. Are you under control now, Axe?
Good call.
Prince Jake asked. We didn't ask you. I couldn't tell if he was angry or amused.
But I definitely wasn't British.
Yes. Oh, right. I said shakily.
The flavor! It was just so wonderful.
Cassie and Rachel emerged from the mall behind me. They watched curiously, but kept their distance. As always, we were careful not to appear to be a group. The controllers are everywhere. Suddenly, I heard a ThoughtSpeak message.
Hey, you guys, was the movie that bad?
It was Tobias, on patrol far overhead. Of course, no one could hear him. Answer him. Humans can use ThoughtSpeak only when they're in morph. And since I was in a human body, I too was restricted to spoken language.
Somebody said something. There's kind of a thing going on,
Tobias said.
Just around the corner from you, some guy staggering around and screaming at the top of his lungs. Cops are coming fast. I'm pretty sure I heard the weird yerk. He's headed your way.
Just then, I began to hear it too. It was a human voice shouting in a loud, hoarse voice.
Yerk! Blah, 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 blah. Yerk! Blah, blah. Controller, blah.
I think we can let Kyle rock that,
The
improv on this next chapter while he's screaming and stuff. Yeah.
So over there.
Marco said tersely. You're supposed to be improving your screaming far away from right now.
I thought
you
were supposed to read this guy's
line. A man appeared. He seemed to be having difficulty standing up. He leaned against the outer wall
A man appeared. He seemed to be having difficulty standing up. He leaned against the outer wall of the store and staggered forward. Hewan stared at him and moved away.
Listen to me. Listen to me,
he said, cried, looking around wildly.
They're here. They're here. They're everywhere. The yaks are everywhere.
My human body. My human body felt as if it had been jolted with electricity. Human bodies become very tense and when surprised. I could see that Prince Jake and Marco were having the same reaction. I heard sirens wailing and drawing closer.
What do we do?
Marco asked. Prince Jake turned quickly back to Rachel and Cassie. He made a gesture with his hand.
Split up,
he said.
Oh, my God, why?
They're here!
Man cried. He suddenly clapped both his hands over his left ear.
Got you! Got you! Die! Die!
He's a controller,
I said.
The yerk in his head is dying.
Jake, my gaze met.
I know.
He said.
Been there.
I nodded. Jake had been made into a controller, though only for a brief time. We had been able to imprison him and starve the yerk. Yerks live in the brains of other species, but every 3 Earth days, they must bathe in the yerk pool and soak up Candrona rays. Without Candrona rays, it's double shy. Candrona rays are beamed from a device called a Candrona. Actually, it's a Candrona wave particle generator. The rays are beamed and then concentrated in the yerk pool where the yerks are fed. We had found and destroyed the Earth-based Candrona.
You can find out about that in
every other book.
Book number 7.
No. Specifically. In book number 7.
There we go.
The Stranger.
Written by K.A. Applegate. Sponsored by...
Yeah.
Scholastic. Oh,
why is this happening now?
Rachel asked.
It's been weeks since we destroyed the Candrona. Nothing ever seemed to happen. So why now?
I shrugged my shoulders. The way humans do to indicate ignorance?
I don't know, Rachel. Maybe the Yerks have reached their limit. It would have been a strain on their resources to shuttle controllers back and forth to the mothership. Maybe something was broken. I didn't think things just broke for you space people.
Marco said.
Things break.
I said truthfully.
Break. Ache.
I got you.
Well, whatever. Scratch one yerk.
Marco said harshly. The man was screaming now and yanking at his ear. I could just see the slimy tip of the dying yerk as it slithered out to the man's head.
Can't we help him?
It was Cassie. She and Rachel had defied Prince Jake's order to split up. They were with us now as we watched, horrified and transfixed.
We have to stay clear of this,
Prince Jake said.
Maybe it's finally starting. It may just be this one guy, but there may be more. Finally, I expected to start seeing this happening weeks ago. Yerk's dying. Controller suddenly free and human again.
He grinned. It was a savage look.
They'll die, and their hosts will be free. At first, people will think they're nuts. But when they have 10, 20, 50 people all yelling about the Yerks, they won't be able to cover that up. Not for long.
His voice had risen, becoming higher.
You can't read and twist knobs at the same time. I love it.
His voice had risen, becoming higher, and the words came out faster. He was obviously upset.
We have
an ambulance raced up, followed by 2 police cars and all the flashing lights and screaming sirens.
Oh, I can do this.
Shh, shh.
If you hold the button.
The ambulance died.
they got there.
Ha! Marco said.
Ha! I'm sure some of the cops are controllers, but they can't all be. Jake's right. The truth will get out. This is going to work. The truth is going to come out. The replacement Candrona is supposed to be here soon.
Rachel pointed out.
We should have seen a lot more of this. The Yerkes must have found a way to keep this from happening till now.
Rachel is a true warrior. She does not underestimate her enemies. She was not ready to start talking about victory. But the others were all very happy. They believed that many Yerkes would die, and the host would be free to tell the world the truth. They believed they had won the war. It made me sad for them, because I knew the truth. I knew how the Yerkes operated. I almost told Prince Jake right then. He has a special reason to be hopeful. His brother Tom is a controller. There is nothing Prince Jake would want as much as his brother's freedom. But I knew this screaming controller with the dying Yerk in his head was just an oversight. Something had gone wrong with the Yerk's secret efforts, but I knew that there would be no witnesses. I knew what would happen to this poor, shouting human. Jake was my prince now, my leader, but if I told him, it would lead to questions, and I could not answer questions, not without revealing the terrible truth behind the law of Ciro's kindness.
Oh, Yuki.
Humans rushed from the ambulance and the police cars. Most, as Marco had said, were probably true normal humans. They grabbed the screaming man who was still pulling the Yerk from his ear.
Oh, Lord! What is that? He's pulling his brains out!
One policeman cried in horror.
Oh, I actually have one.
Yeah. I was just going to keep screaming.
One policeman cried in horror. Bottom of the page.
The Yerkes! They're here! Die!
The human.
Die! Come out of me! And die! Freedom!
I could probably rock that in a Scottish accent.
I know, I was just thinking that too.
Freedom!
That didn't sound...
No, I haven't watched the movie in a while.
The police surrounded...
Die! Get out of me and die!
Oh, I assumed you had something planned there. I
he
was
did.
Just gonna.
You gotta keep going.
Freedom!
Oh, so you did.
Oh, the police surrounded the man and hustled him into the ambulance. It was hard to see unless you were expecting it. The moment when one of the policemen drew a small steel cylinder from his pocket and pressed it against the back of the man's neck.
I can't believe it!
Cassie exulted.
Maybe it's really going to happen. Maybe people will realize the truth.
They have a real live Yerk now.
Prince Jake said.
They can't cover this up forever.
Again, I thought of telling them the truth, that the human was already gone, that the Yerk slug would crumble into dust, that no evidence would be left behind. But even though these humans were my friends, even though we fought side by side, their secrets were secrets I could not tell them. I could not tell them how a race of parasitic slugs had come to be a danger to the entire galaxy. I could not tell them why we Andalites had to fight the Yerks, why we had no choice but to fight them. Why we hated them so deeply. We have secrets, we Andalites. And the greatest secret of all is our own guilt.
This is great.
Prince Jake said, smiling.
Yes.
I said.
Great.
I promise you.
Oh, we're
talking.
And we're back.
Oh, we're talking.
Wasn't that awesome?
Yes,
I thought it was awesome.
Okay.
Which track?
Go to number 12.
Number 12?
Number 12.
Just do it. Number 12.
It'll be good.
Will it?
Yes, because it's his ritual.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
This will work.
This is me and you, right?
Chapter 4.
Oh. Play. You're listening to KDUP 1580 AM, Sound of Portland, or online at kdup.up.edu.
You can call in at 9437... Never mind, sorry.
503-973-7121, or if you're on campus, extension 7121.
I got all flustered because you were excited.
Push the play button.
And would you stop acting excited?
Chapter 4.
As the sun rose... That's Kyle.
As the sun rose above the horizon the next morning, I stood by the small stream where I drink each day. Rough grasses mixed with fallen leaves and pine needles ran right down to the water. The sun was just barely visible through a gap in the forest trees.
From the water that gave birth to us,
I said, and dipped my right forehoof into the water. It was the beginning of the morning ritual.
From the grass that feeds us,
I said, and began and moved back to crush a small tuft of grass beneath the same hoof.
For the freedom that unites us,
I spread my arms wide.
We rise to the stars.
I looked with all four of my eyes at the rising sun. I sighed. This was really pretty pointless. I have never been a big believer in all the rituals. I mean, if you're going to be a warrior, you have to do it. And any arist who gets caught rushing through the ritual is verbally reprimanded. But still, I was about a billion Earth miles away from my homeworld. It was hard to see why I should still be acting like a good little warrior cadet. I was all alone among aliens. Who cared if I performed the rituals? I bowed low.
Freedom is my only cause. Duty to the people, my only guide. Obedience to my prince, my only glory.
I hesitated. Tobias had landed in the tree above.
The destruction of my enemies, my most solemn vow.
I straightened up again, then assumed the fighting stance.
I, Aksumili Esgaroth Isthil, Andalite warrior cadet, offer my life.
With that, I drew my tail blade forward and pressed it against my own throat. Then I relaxed my tail. This was the part of the ritual that called for contemplation. You were supposed to think about the parts of the ritual and ask yourself if you were living up to it all, to all of it. The destruction of my enemies, my most solemn vow, that was the part that stayed in my thoughts. I had not destroyed the enemy. My enemy was terrible and powerful. If I had tried to destroy him, I would be the one killed. But that did not matter. What mattered was the enemy. The creature who had murdered my brother, not in battle, but as he lay almost helpless. It was the humans who told me the rest of Alfangor's story. As the dome went crashing into Earth's sea, my brother's fighter was damaged by the Yerks. He landed in an abandoned construction site. There were 5 human youths passing by, Jake, Cassie, Marco, Rachel, and Tobias. Alfangor was dying, and he knew that Earth was now defenseless. He told the 5 youths about the Yerk threat, and then he did what he should not have done. He gave them a weapon to fight the Yerks. He gave them the Andalite power to morph. Never in all the history of any non-Andalite has any non-Andalite been given the power to morph. It's against our major law, the law of Ciro's kindness. Only one other creature can morph. The Yerk who invaded and took over an Andalite body. He is the only Andalite controller. There are hundreds of thousands of Hork-Bajir and Taxons and humans enslaved that way, but only one Andalite, only one Yerk has an... only one Yerk has an Andalite body and the power to morph. The Abomination Vissa 3. The humans told me of Elfangor's last battle, how Vissa 3 had morphed into a huge monstrous creature. How Elfangor had fought to the very end, lashing out helplessly. How Vissa 3 had opened his jaws, and the humans don't know why, but if Elfangor had lived, he would have been in huge trouble. He would have been demoted, at the very least. He would no longer have been a prince. Elfangor, as the great hero, would have been finished.
the destruction of my enemies my most solemn vow.
I had faced Vissa III more than once. He was still living. I had no excuse, except that I was still just an Arist. If I were a full warrior, it would have been total dishonor for me. Elfango would have had the courage. If it had been me killed by Vissa III, Elfango would have gone right after him. Wow, I am struggling. But I guess I'm not Elfango.
Hey, Axeman, what's up?
I am fine, Tobias,
I said. Actually, I was not fine. Tobias being there reminded me that I had something planned for this morning, and I was nervous. Maybe that's why the morning ritual had not left me feeling calm, like it was supposed to. I was planning to do something very frightening. I was planning to go to school. School? Whoa, we meant for this to be a Halloween episode, but go to school? A little over the top in scariness.
That's like what we do every day.
Only worse.
Think about it.
Think about it.
Not to be too curious or anything, but what was that you were doing? I've seen you do it before.
The morning ritual. It reminds a warrior to be humble and to serve the people.
Sounds good,
Tobias said.
Yikes! Axe! Don't step back. In fact, don't move at all.
What is wrong?
I asked.
Don't you hear that?
I listened.
That rattling, hissing sound? I've heard that before. It's a rattlesnake, right by your leg. They're poisonous, you know.
Ah, no, I didn't know.
I turned to face the snake. I saw it coiled in the leaves. What I did not see was when it struck. It was too fast to see, let alone avoid. Luckily, the fang sank into my hoof. Hit my hoof. I whipped my tail forward and pressed the snake against the ground, holding it immobile. It squirmed and made the rattling sound with its tail.
Better get rid of it,
Tobias advised. But I had a different idea. I focused on the snake. I began to acquire it, absorbing the snake's DNA into my system.
Oh. You want to be able to morph a rattlesnake?
Tobias asked, sounding dubious.
It's very fast,
I said.
And I have fewer earth morphs than the others. May be useful someday.
The snake had gone limp, the way animals always do when you acquire them. When I was done and the snake's DNA was within me, I used my tail to flip it away into some bushes.
And the reason we're playing this?
It's a play shelf.
So,
Tobias asked,
are you still going ahead with your get-to-know-the-humans plan?
Yes. I may be on this planet for a long time. I should be using this time to learn about humans, even though I think I may have behaved badly at the movie. Bop, bop, ba da, bop.
Bump, bop. Tobias laughed. He laughed for quite a while.
Yeah. I heard about that. Just need to stay away from chocolate.
I am not prepared for taste. The experience is very powerful. Perhaps I should not morph into a human anymore.
Don't sweat it,
Tobias said.
But speaking of taste, you realize there's this big mystery about you.
A big mystery?
Yeah. No one wants to ask you because they think it's rude, but everyone wants to know how you eat with no mouth.
How I eat?
I repeated, puzzled.
Well, I have hooves, don't I?
Okay,
Tobias said.
I'll mind my own business.
We started moving through the woods. I ran at a good speed. I enjoyed leaping fallen logs and dodging. That's what I find. Enjoyed leaping fallen logs and dodging through dense patches of thorny bushes. I was getting to know the forest well. As I ran and leapt, Tobias flew overhead. At times he would rise through the canopy of trees and disappear from sight. At other times he would flit from tree to tree, silent, swift.
In school, during xenobiology, we had a section on humans,
I told Tobias.
Mostly involved human television programs, news shows, entertainment, music.
Music? You mean like MTV? You were watching music videos on the Andalite homeworld?
I don't remember what they were. I didn't pay very much attention in xenobiology. I wish I had now. Warrior is supposed to be a scientist and an artist, as well as a fighter.
But I didn't always enjoy that other stuff, so I didn't pay much attention. I suppose humans always pay attention in school.
Absolutely,
Tobias said.
That's why I am such an expert on the War of 1812.
A war?
Tell me about it.
In 1814, we took a little trip.
Go on, Kyle.
Along with Colonel Jackson to the mighty Mississippi. Took a little bacon and we took a little beans.
Shoot, I screwed it up. Along with Colonel Jackson to the town of New York. Leave me alone.
I was kidding. I don't know anything about the War of 1812. We're just about there. Are you ready to start?
We had reached the narrow spur of woods. Normally, I would not have dared go this far because I was surrounded on three sides by human habitations. But Tobias was overhead, keeping his incredibly keen eyes open for any danger.
Yes, I'm ready. Jake and Cassie are coming across the field. Time for you to morph. Time to get human. Tobias, you'll be alone today while I'm with the others. What? Like I can't get along without you? Axeman, I have places to go, things to do, feathers to preen, which is pleasurable. Rodents to eat. Besides, Axe, Jake has already asked me to fly cover over the school while you're in there.
I don't know why, but it made me feel better to think that Tobias would be in the sky above me all day. Sometimes I think Tobias and I could be true Shorm. A Shorm is a deep friend, someone who you never lie to, someone who knows all your secrets. The word Shorm means tailblade. See, it's supposed to mean a person you would trust so much that they could put their tailblade right up against your throat and you wouldn't even worry. Sometimes I think Tobias and I could be like that. We are both cut off from our own people. We're both alone. But if we were friends, I would have no secrets from Tobias. And even though he was a hawk in form, he was still a human. And I am an Andalite, and no matter how much I sometimes wished for a real friend, there had to be a wall between my people and the humans, between me and the humans. Getting too close to any alien species is a mistake. We were taught that. We may protect them, defend them, care for them, but they can never be deep friends.
But ask why? We could be such good friends. We had lights and humans. We could show you McDonald's and Kitty Cats and maybe some chocolate bars.
Kitty Cats?
Yeah. And then you could show us all the cool stuff that we always dream about and write stories. Maybe even take us to the stars. Oh, maybe the moon.
We've been to the moon. That's not very exciting.
But be able to breathe on the moon because of the story.
CJ, I think it's your turn and you should start.
Or take us to the Andalite whole world where we could be friends. And please keep reading so I can stop this tangent and turn off the music. Because it's a...
Which were we?
Chapter 5, page 42.
What am I doing?
You're doing voices.
No, this is more fun.
With the crisscross mics. You can't hear this at home, but I'm sitting on the left and CJ's on the right, but through your speakers I come out on the right and CJ
comes out on the left.
It's incredible.
Really?
No.
Should go on the show Modern Marvels.
Ripley's Believe It or Not. Let's see. Well, we're going to play another play shelf because Matthew has nothing better to do.
Chapter 5.
Only have one. Yeah, only. Okay, here we go. I have morphed some Andalite animals, and I have morphed some many strange Earth animals, but the animal I morph the most is the human animal. They are weak, slow, half-blind, and unstable, but no Andalite should laugh at them. Humans rule their planet, and as the human Rachel once said, Earth is a tough neighborhood.
From the Earth Diary of Aximili Escaralf Isfil.
I peered through the trees. I could see a wide grassy field, and for some reason there was loud metal music in the background. On the far side of the field were several long squat buildings. There were large yellow vehicles parked in front. Hundreds of young humans milled around outside the building.
Since playing the rock music, I'm actually going to school. It's uber exciting.
Prince Jake and Cassie had drawn close.
"Hey, X,"
Prince Jake said.
"How's it going?" "Very well, Prince Jake,"
I answered.
You're not going to call me Prince Jake today, are you?" "When I am in human morph, I will behave as a normal human,"
I assured him.
"Well, better go ahead and morph,"
Cassie suggested.
"I think we're clear, but..." "I think we're clear, but I'll go up and take a look,"
Tobias said. He flapped his wings and rose slowly into the sky. I concentrated on my human morph and began to make the change.
"Still clear,"
I heard Tobias call down from above.
"There are some kids about 200 feet away, but they can't see you."
I morphed as quickly as I could, while being careful not to fall over as my third and fourth legs disappeared. At last I stood on just two legs. It's both frightening and exciting. I mean, there you are, tottering back and forth. Nothing to hold you up. Oh, he fell. No, he didn't. "Your feet can't grip, and they are too much. And they are too short to be much help in balancing. All you can do if you start to fall is stand on one leg while you throw the second leg out to catch yourself. It's very unreliable. I don't know why humans evolved that way. They are the only species on this planet to walk around on just two legs without wings or a tail to hold them up. And I've certainly never heard of any other intelligent species trying to walk this way."
"Hey, grab him!"
Prince Jake yelled as I began to lean back.
"I was yawning, Kyle. You must know."
"I'm leaning back."
"Johnny him!"
Cassia said. She helped support me as I finished them off. Last of all, the mouth appeared, a horizontal split in my face.
"You done?"
Prince Jake asked me.
"Yes, I am fully human."
The sound delighted me. It's an amazing talent, this ability to make complex sounds.
"Human. Human. Human. Humans. Human.
A human.
Axe, don't do that, okay?"
Prince Jake said.
"What? What? That, where you play with every sound like it's a new toy." "Yes, my prince. Not a toy. Toy. Toy, 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 toy. Sorry. This should be interesting,"
Cassie said, looking at Prince Jake. Buzz came swooping low and rested on a tree branch.
"It's kinda sweet,"
he said.
"Axe's first day of school. His only day of school,"
Prince Jake said quickly.
"This is just so he can learn how to be a more believable human one time."
Prince Jake held up a single finger, indicating the number one.
"Yes, that is what,"
I agreed.
"Now let's go to school. I am looking forward to it. To it. To it."
"Indeed.
Remember, you're my cousin Philip from out of state,"
Jake said while handing me a bag filled with garments.
"Philip,"
I repeated confidently.
"Philip.
I
Philip. 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 Philip.
Are you done?"
"Yeah.
One more puh.
Puh.
There we go. I like the sound the letter P makes. Today's Animorphs, the radio drama uncensored, is brought to you by the letter P.
And number 42.
And the number 1. And the number 1.
And the number 1.
Yes, that is 1.
Number 2. Oh, right. I get it.
An A.
Which ties in perfectly with the Halloween special. One. One finger. I got dressed and set off toward the squat building that was the schoolhouse.
Apparently they changed it.
"Hey, what happened to me? It's running out of my leg!"
Good thing Kyle doesn't have a mic right now.
Did you guys ever hear that joke as kids?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I just remembered when it was
playing. That's wonderful.
Anyway.
Let's finish it.
Right.
It's your life.
Have fun.
Have fun.
Tobias said.
Yeah.
He sounded just a little wistful in my mind. It was a strange thing, I guess. I, an alien, could go to his school. But he could not.
"I will,"
I called back over my shoulder. Unfortunately, bending that way made me fall over. It takes practice to walk on just two legs.
that would be a laugh track moment.
Laugh track.
Get the clap track.
That's all we got.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Hey, you didn't tell me to get a. You didn't tell
you
me.
Know,
to get,
I thought you were motivated.
You know what? You know what? You know what? You know what? I got nothing. I'm just going to repeat. You know what? Yeah, leave me alone. Hey, who's reading
it? Kyle, you're doing something.
I'm
voices,
doing
I think.
Narration.
Yay! Chapter 6.
Voices.
Hey, do I read this cool thing? Wait, are we on chapter 6?
Yes. Wow. A human has only two eyes.
Wait, don't I read that?
No, you read the from the...
Yeah.
Both are on the front of the face. It is the same with most human species. These human eyes are very similar to our own main eyes. But humans seem fascinated by my stock eyes. One of the humans, Marco, has said they creep him out big time. I believe this is a compliment.
From the Earth Diary of Aximili Escaroth Estil.
Am I voices?
Yeah.
Oh, well that's why I was confused. Here it is.
Cassie said.
School. Or as I like to think of it, purgatory.
Way to be morbid.
Maybe she's Catholic.
Marco's the Catholic one.
Stereotype.
No,
he's no, isn't he actually?
Yeah, he's Catholic.
Yeah.
We haven't found that out yet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did.
So confused.
Moving on! The school was very active. There were large numbers of humans racing about at high speed. Others moved very slowly and seemed sad or ill. Many carried books. Most made mouth sounds.
Sad or ill. I love it.
As usual, they were dressed in a shocking variety of clothing. Clothing is not a uniquely human idea, but of course Andalites do not indulge in it. However, when I am in human morph, I must wear clothing. All of my human friends, even Tobias, agree on this. They agree very strongly on this one point. I saw Rachel and Marco approaching through the crowd of humans. The other human friends tell me that Rachel is beautiful and that Marco is cute. As an Andalite, I don't observe either trait. However, when I am in human morph, I begin to see that Rachel is very beautiful. But I never see that Marco is cute.
That's
at school, the animorphs must pretend not to be very close. This is so any suspicious human controllers will not begin to think of them as a group.
Quote, end quote. Hi, Marco.
Rachel,
Prince Jake said. Meet my cousin, Philip.
Yes, I am Prince Jake's cousin, Philip.
Marco, I said.
I am from out of state.
Marco made a smile with his mouth.
You're from way, way out of state, huh?
Don't call me Prince.
Prince Jake hissed.
Nice to see you again, Philip.
Rachel said and winked. Since she really was really Jake's cousin, she would have already met Philip.
Quote unquote.
See you guys later. Good luck.
You'll need it.
Marco added. We went inside the school building. It seemed to be nothing but a very long corridor. It was filled with humans. Along each side of the corridor, there were doors. Some of the doors were large, but there were hundreds of smaller doors. I observed people opening the small doors, but no one ever went inside.
Where do those small doors doors lead?
I asked.
You remind me of a man.
Nowhere.
That's the wrong
song. Those are lockers.
See? Oh.
Cassie
said.
Everyone has a locker, see? There's my locker, right there.
I went to Cassie's locker. It was decorated with a shiny pendant. The pendant had a wheel with numbers on it. Cassie spun the wheel back and forth.
Is this a ritual?
I asked.
Chul. Ritual? No, that's a lock. It keeps people out.
Why?
So they won't steal my stuff.
She opened her locker and began putting things in and taking things out.
What is that?
I asked. Sorry.
It's just a picture.
Cassie said. She quickly closed the door of her locker.
It looked like a picture of print of Jake.
I pointed out.
Why would you have a picture of him when he is right here and you can see him?
Cassie shrugged and looked down at the ground. Humans have many facial expressions. I believe this one indicated either sickness or embarrassment.
Come on, Axe.
Prince Jake said. He was smiling at Cassie, and she was continuing to look sicker and embarrassed.
We'll see you later, Cassie. Time for first.
Just then, a terrible mind-shattering sound. I spun around. I raised my human arms, ready to use them for defense. I wished I had my tail. It's a terrible thing to be without a tail in a fight. But I was ready to do the best I could with my human body.
Axe! I mean, Philip, relax!
That noise!
I cried.
What kind of a beast is it?
Axe, it's just the bell for first period,
Jake said.
Take it easy. People are staring. It's not a threat? No, it's not a threat. It's depressing, but not dangerous.
I followed Prince Jake as he led the way down the hall. It was difficult to forget the horrible noise. When humans are threatened, their bodies are flooded with a chemical that makes them hyper-alert, fearful, and aggressive. The chemical is called adrenaline. My system was now flooded with adrenaline. It was very distracting. We entered one of the large doors. Inside were approximately 30 humans arranged in small confining seats. At the front of the room was a large table. An older human stood there. Prince Jake said... an older human stood there.
Everyone to your seats,
the older human said. Prince Jake said...
Mr. Pardue, this is my cousin from out of town. His name's Philip. He's just hanging out with me today, okay? Just sit... Sit, be quiet, and sit.
I could tell from Prince Jake's facial expressions that he was troubled. He took my arm and led me to the back of the room.
Take that desk.
Jake said.
Take it where? Where? I mean sit in it.
I understood sitting. I was getting pretty good at passing for human. Once, for 2 days, I had to morph Prince Jake and pretend to be him. I was successful in fooling his parents and brother, although I later learned that his parents believed he had become mentally ill. When the real Prince Jake returned, they took him to see a doctor.
Sitting in this desk is unpleasant,
I said.
You got that right, dude.
A human I didn't know said.
What is going on back there? Quiet down,
the teacher demanded loudly.
What?
Suddenly he clutched at his head with both hands.
Everyone be quiet! Quiet!
Now Prince Jake looked very troubled.
Mr. Pardue, are you okay?
All the other humans stared at the teacher, too. Everyone was very quiet.
Okay?
Mr. Pardue demanded in a loud, angry voice.
Am I okay? Am I?
Without warning, Mr. Pardue pitched forward. He fell on the floor. He clawed at his head with his hands, and he cried,
Yuck! Get out of me!
He clawed at his head till blood began to flow. Kind of. We're back for 3 minutes. So yeah. If you want to call in and talk to us about the book and stuff, now would be the time.
But you only got 3 minutes.
Yeah, because we decided today that we're going to be nice to the show that comes after us and, like...
And actually finish ours.
On time.
On time.
Well, this is the first time we've started to book on the hour for a long time now.
Really? We started on the hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, like started. We started the book in the beginning of this episode.
Right.
It makes sense.
Trust me. I got you.
Hey!
Oh, God!
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
Good afternoon. Or good evening, I mean. This is Dr. Inan.
Oh, hello, Dr. Inan.
My God, that show was amazing. Any more ha-has or hee-hees?
I'm laughing.
The one, two, that reminded me of one of my students. His name is Evan. He should be listening, but he probably isn't.
That's good to know.
But that cliffhanger, how can I... My God, how can I wait till the next episode?
I don't know, but we're not reading anymore. I could read the first word for you, the next chapter, if you really want.
Yes, I want.
Chapter.
No!
Thanks for the call, Dr. Inan.
Goodbye.
Yep.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.
That was good stuff.
It is.
All right, so are we just going to...
Other people can call in if they wanted to, but
yeah,
we're going to and stuff.
Dude, what did you think about the Schindler's List soundtrack set to the beginning?
Awesome!
That was way better than I thought. I have to tell those people that listen, CJ was like practicing for like 2 shows ahead of time.
Because it was amazing. The
timing
first time
was perfect. He planned it out. The only thing was he added a couple words so that he got the end like right on
perfect.
The note. It worked, though. I liked it.
I did, too.
Made me feel happy.
Yeah.
I smiled on the inside, which is 2 workouts for me in one evening.
No wonder you're sweating.
Earlier and, like, right after we finished the Schindler's List portion.
Yeah. And some people might think that's irreverent, but I don't care. It's Animorphs.
Irreverent? The radio drama, sorry.
Uncensored.
Whew, that was close. You almost snuck that past me.
Why would it be
Halloween special.
Why would that be irreverent?
Because it's not reverent?
Because of the subject matter of Schindler's List.
Nazis?
Yeah.
Andalites?
This is Elfangor's List.
You tricky son of a...
Anyways, I guess we should make one last check and see if there's spirits in here.
Yeah, for the spirit of the episode.
That's a post.
You know what that sounds like? Asteroids. Classic game.
That's supposed to sound like that one. Oh, the God Save the Queen. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, the French national anthem. Never mind. Don't listen to me.
Wow, we're just wasting time now.
Yeah.
What have we been doing for the last 2 hours?
Hey, no. This is a serious show.
It is.
I mean, serious. What?
People don't realize that.
Serious.
Who is that? The guy who played...
Serious.
Oh, do we have any more spooky music? And should I take this out?
No.
Oh, right. We're supposed to. I'm supposed to play something.
At the end?
Oh, at the end.
Yeah, we're not ready to go yet.
Oh, hey.
Phone call. Yay, much better than not wasting it. You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Hey, it's me again. It's Luke. Are you guys going to the Cove?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Let me turn this off for a second.
We always go to the Cove after our show. And by always, I mean almost every time except for like 2.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I wouldn't know because I've been such a unloyal listener.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yes.
You made up for it tonight. Way to go.
Don't pile the Catholic guilt on yourself, man. It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. That's why we have confession.
Well, you may or may not see me there.
That's why we have confession.
Okay. We'll look for you, Luke.
Make sure you tell Father Bill that you didn't listen, and you'll be
fine. Okay, I'll make sure. Thank you.
And as much as I think it should be a mortal sin, it's only a venial.
What? That's got to be against some rule.
Alright, well, thanks for calling in twice.
Thanks, buddy.
Sorry for all the other listeners who are like, this guy's so annoying. Why do you keep calling?
This is your makeup show. Yeah, you have to get all your calls in that you would have done at the beginning of the season.
Plus, it's the Halloween special. It's for special people.
And
so all of you other listeners that haven't called in, you're not special because you didn't call in. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel special.
All right. Catch you later, Luke.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Actually, guys, I just want to qualify my statement. All of our listeners are special. It's just, as you can obviously tell, Luke Steger is...
a special kind of special.
He's special. And we didn't, you know, we didn't want to make you guys feel bad or anything. It's just that it's sort of a pandering kind of a thing. I don't know. Anyways, I think this is going to be Animorphs, the radio drama, signing off from our Halloween
Before
special.
We go.
But wait. No, we have to end this right, though, in the true spirit of Halloween.
Oh, there's a phone call. You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama. Halloween special.
Oh. That's not good. Who was that?
So long, so long.
The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah, even you.
I can stand here, just like the Israelites said. What did you?
Thank you, little Miss Cheerful. Oh, I have a very bad feeling about this.